Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 21, entitled The Dynasty of Bharat, Text 13 to 16. I will chant 13, 14, 15, and we can chant responsibly 16. Kshutritshramo gatra paribrahmascha dainyam klama shoka vishada moha sarve nivrita kupanasya jantur vishojiva jalarpanam me. Translation. By offering my water to maintain the life of this poor Chandala, who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion. 14. Iti prabhasya paniyam mriyamana papasaya pulkasa dadadiro nisarga karunanripa. Having spoken thus, King Rantidev, although on the verge of death because of thirst, gave his own portion of water to the Chandala without hesitation, for the king was naturally very kind and sober. 15. Tasya jibhuvana disha paladapalamichchatam atmanam dashayat am chakrur maya vishnu vinirmitaha. Demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who can satisfy all materially ambitious men by giving them the rewards they desire, then manifested their own identities before King Rantidev, for it was they who had presented themselves as the Brahmana, Shudra, Chandala, and so on. 16, please repeat. Savai tebhyo namaskritya nisango vikata sprihaha vasudeve bhagavati bhakcha chakre manaparam. Sa, he, King Rantidev. Vai, indeed. Tebya, unto Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and the other demigods. Namakritya, offering obeisances. Nisanga, with no ambition to take any benefit from them. Vigata spriha, completely free from desires for material possessions. Vasudeva, unto Lord Vasudev. Bhagavati, the Supreme Lord. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Chakre, fixed. Mana, the mind. Param, as the ultimate goal of life. King Rantidev had no ambition to enjoy material benefits from the demigods. He offered them obeisances, but because he was factually attached to Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fixed his mind at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Please repeat. King Rantidev had no ambition to enjoy material benefits from the demigods. He offered them obeisances, but because he was factually attached to Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fixed his mind at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Anya Devashraya Nai Tomare Kinu Bai A Bhakti Parama Karana. If one wants to become a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, one should not hanker to take benedictions from the demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamaistaistai Hritagyana Prapadyante Nyadevataha. Those befooled by the illusion of the material energy worship gods other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Rantidev was personally able to see Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, he did not hanker to take material benefits from them. Rather, he fixed his mind upon Lord Vasudev and rendered devotional service unto him. This is the sign of a pure devotee whose heart is not adulterated by material desires. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadya Navritam Anukulyena Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called a pure devotional service. Magyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshu and Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. King Rantidev's activities are quite remarkable. Not to be imitated. And it's clear that he was not only a king, but the topmost king. He was actually Uttamadhikari. We can tell by the descriptions. With great respect, King Rantidev offered the balance of the food to the dogs and the master of the dogs who had come as guests. The king offered them all respects and obeisances. This is a very poignant verse which indicates his status as a pure devotee, Uttamadhikari. Because Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmana guest ate his share and then went away. So King Rantidev perceived the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every being. So that is the consciousness of the Uttamadhikari, that he does not distinguish between an atheist and a theist, does not distinguish between the type of body that a living entity has. His vision is Krishna is present everywhere and was within every atom and is within every heart of every living entity. Therefore, he offers respects. He understands that if a living entity has a dog's body, it's because of sinful life. If he has a brahmana's body, it's because he's been engaged in sukriti or piety. So that's his vision. And other symptom that he was very elevated was that his situation was that he only accepted that which came by providence. This is a very elevated situation to be in, because by providence he hadn't got any food for 48 days. Which is a considerable long time. Him and his family had no food. Then he got some food, And he was going to break that fast, but then, as we heard, these different living entities came along and desired to be fed. So immediately, seeing Krishna present in within their hearts, he offered them whatever he had. Even down, he was left with a glass of water, and a chandala then came and asked for some water, and he gave away the water. So we shouldn't be thinking that by these activities that Ranti Dev was in a suffering condition of life. In fact, he was naturally, of course, very blissful. And he, as described in this verse that we just read, that was 12, 13, yes. By offering my water to maintain the life of this poor Chandala, who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion. So, yes, not to be imitated, this activity, because even if we're deprived of one meal, I'm sure we're going to be disturbed. What to speak of 48 days? So it's not so easy to follow in the footsteps of these great devotees, but we can follow the essence. And one thing we can say for sure, that he had conquered his eating habits. So I've emphasized this before, that it's necessary in spiritual life to be moderate in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Otherwise, devotional service will be spoiled. It is a scientific fact that overeating, atihara, will destroy spiritual life. So although King Ranti Dev was in that position, on the verge of death, still, he was not disturbed. He remained, what did he remain? Not disturbed, he remained dhira, undisturbed in those circumstances. So that is the position of an uttama adhikari, not to be imitated. So we, if we want to advance in spiritual life, it's necessary that we take the association of those devotees who are progressing in spiritual life, especially Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari. And King Ranti Dev was obviously the highest order, and the words he spoke were nectarian, capable of, just by hearing his words, one could be become liberated. Hearing them with faith, one could become liberated. So Lord Chaitanya was asked, who is a devotee? What is the symptoms of a pure devotee? And his answer was, asat sanga tyaga, a Vaishnava achara, that the first principle of a duty of a Vaishnava is to avoid unnecessary association. So there are two things that are problematic if we remain Kanishtha Adhikari, and that is this unwanted association, and also sadhu ninda, blasphemy of devotees. This is a problem, because why is it a problem for us if we remain Kanishtha Adhikaris? Because we cannot know who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. That is the particular hindrance in remaining Kanishtha Adhikari, that we don't have the discrimination to know who is a devotee and who is not. So under those circumstances, how is he going to be protected from unwanted association and blasphemy of a deity? For instance, there is mana and dana, there is respect, and there is compassion. So respect goes up, compassion goes down. So if you don't know who is a devotee, then you may get those things wrong. You may think someone is below you, when in fact they're above you. So there's very little protection there from these things. So it is the Madhyamadhikari who actually can distinguish. So some devotees think, I know because they have stated so, that only Srila Prabhupada was self-realized, and that none of us are self-realized. Of course, we may not be self-realized on the highest platform of devotional life, in realizing our Swarup Siddhi, but we can be self-realized in the mode of goodness, understanding that the spiritual focus is the most important thing, or we can be self-realized on the Brahma Buddha platform. But if it's true that there are none of us that are self-realized, then what can you say that we have a big problem within our society? Because without Madhyamadhikari to set the example and to show us who is actually a devotional and who is not, we will remain Kanishtha Adhikaris. And the symptom of Kanishtha Adhikaris is, of course, that they tend to argue about different processes of devotional service. They will take up they tend to be self-opinionated and take up arguments and different aspects of devotional service, who get involved in so many arguments. So yes, so we definitely need to advance to the Madhyamadhikari stage, to avoid unwanted association, to know who we should not associate with. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained in his Harinam Chintamani, who are the persons we should not associate with. It's clearly defined there. Prabhupada's courses throughout his book has described who we should not associate with. Of course, there are two types. There are those one association with women outside of marriage for illicit sex. That is one. And then there is association within marriage also, but in a situation where the wife is in control. The wife controls. That is also unwanted association. So the other variety of unwanted association, of course, is the non-devotees. And they are divided, he divided those into three categories. Those who are not devotees are, of course, they're the atheists and the pretenders. Those are the pretenders. Those are devotees who may be dressed as devotees, but they have no genuine bhakti or renunciation. They simply are devotees for... Why would they become devotees? If you have no interest, why would you become a devotee? if you have no interest in bhakti, or you're not interested in minimizing bodily necessities. Yes, for sustenance. That's it. Just for sustenance. So those, and then there, of course, the Mayavadis, who, I'm God, you're God, we're all going to be God. Those are the three categories of people we should not associate with. So in spiritual life, we are not all equal. Spiritually we are equal, and that is the vision, that is the only real, the real vision of equality is the vision of the Uttamadhikari, because he sees the spirit soul, he sees Krishna and everything. Otherwise, we don't see equality. We see gradations of living entities. And sometimes devotees get disturbed if you say, well, this kind of devotee should be neglected or avoided. But it is a fact that we should have that discrimination to know who in spiritual life is to be avoided, and those are devotees who are not representing spiritual practices. So it's not sadhu ninda to say that certain groups or types of devotees are to be neglected or avoided. That is not sadhu ninda. But if someone criticizes a Madhyamadhikari for pointing that fact out, that is sadhu ninda. That is an offense, actually, to the Madhyamadhikari, if you criticize him. Because in devotional life, we are not equal. Some of us are more qualified than others, is no doubt. And it's our responsibility as individuals to realize which devotees are superior to us, and which devotees are beneath us, and which devotees are Maitri we should make friends with. It's very important. If you want to preach to someone, you don't make friends with them, but you're compassionate towards them. You make friends with those on the equal level with you, with yourself. Otherwise, in the material world, what is it? We make friendships and on the basis of, I can show off to you what my accomplishments are. That's why we make friendships in the material platform, to boast of our achievements. But on the spiritual platform, friendship is made, and that is one of the main differences. We can tell between who is situated in intermediate state and who is Kanishtha, because this one thing, that a Kanishtha is not interested in developing friendships. He has friends, yes, according to his likes and dislikes, that is true, but he's not interested in generally the principle of making friendships with the devotees. But the Madhyamadhikari sees the essential, how essential it is to have friendships in spiritual life, and to serve those devotees. To serve those devotees are more advanced than we are, because that is of the Kanishtha vision. Doesn't have that. Kanishtha doesn't have that vision of serving, how to serve the pure devotees, how to serve the devotees. Merely the vision is of the deity in the temple, and generally is not perceived that Krishna is within the heart of every living entity. So these are problems if we don't make that attempt to become more advanced in spiritual life. And it is important also to remember that if we do make advancement, that we must be very gracious to the Kanishtha Adhikaris, because they're also included. Jai Shishi Gornitai. They are included with the Balasa, the envious people, because their devotion is, it's a dim shadow of devotion, actually. So, this is a grim picture, isn't it, of the Kanishtha Adhikari, but I'm going to rectify the position, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said an important thing about Kanishtha Adhikari. He said, of all the fruitive workers who have opened innumerable hospitals and places for the elderly and have fed the poor and opened schools, and of all the jnanis who have engaged in meditation and austerity for a very long time, all that piety is insignificant to one single Kanishtha Adhikari ringing the bell once for the deity is the Lord. So just to put the picture straight, that it is a wonderful position to become Kanishtha Adhikari, but we don't want to remain in that position. So we have to seek out, incumbent upon us to seek out more advanced devotees and hear from them and avoid. So then we can avoid blaspheming the devotees, and we can avoid unwanted association. There are situations described which do not warrant criticism of a devotee. One is, of course, birth. We cannot criticize a devotee because of birth. We cannot criticize, we should not criticize a devotee because of previous sinful activities in this life. We cannot criticize them. He's not qualified for criticism if he accidentally falls down. And he's not qualified for criticism if he's still experiencing traces of old habits. Just like we understand that when we take devotional service, the spiritual master takes away our sinful reactions. But the fan of our material life keeps turning. Like when you unplug a fan, it doesn't stop immediately. So that is not reason. So, and there are other considerations which aren't reasons also, and that is wealth, youth, beauty, power, and also number of followers. That is also not a consideration in terms of who is advanced in spiritual life. But there is one feature which is, shall we say, infallible, and that is, anybody like to say what that is? What symptom makes us, by which we can recognize as advancing in spiritual life? What symptom? What is that? Yes, no more material desires, yes. That's right. But specifically, that, yes, no more material desires. What is that verse? Who qualifies prasadam adi gacchati? Who is raja devesha vimuktais tu vishan indrais charam atma vishya vidyaya prasadam adi gacchati? Yes. That is someone who is free from an attachment aversion. Yes, that's true. And free from attachment and aversion, he gets the complete mercy of the Lord. And able to also, important, to control the senses through regulative principles of freedom. But there's one more specific symptom that we can judge by. And of course, if we want to become second-class devotees, it's not that we cannot discriminate or even judge. Judgment must be there. But it's a case of, there by the mercy of God go I. we see the sin, we don't see that, we don't blame the person. So if we completely give up our discrimination, to act like Srila Prabhupada says, to act a mild way, like a woman, that is not really recommended, that we should keep our discrimination. But that symptom by which we can see if someone's advancing a spiritual life is that increasing taste for chanting Hare Krishna. By this one symptom, that someone who's really progressing in spiritual life can be seen to have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. And we can pray for that one thing, isn't it? If only we had a little drop of taste for chanting Hare Krishna, how our lives would be radically improved. Just imagine, the best thing to do for us to be purified is to chant Hare Krishna. And if we had that little taste, we'd want to chant Hare Krishna all day long. So Ranti Dev wants to see all people happy, and that is the nature of a devotee, that he wants to see other people happy, living entities happy. And he suffers because he sees other living entities suffering. Like Ranti Dev was willing to take all the burden of the sin away from people just so that he could save them from the suffering. So that is a very elevated position. We should know first how we can end our own miseries, how we should identify exactly where we're situated in spiritual life, to see whether we have material attachments or not. Because if we still have material attachments, then we're not qualifying from the complete mercy of the Lord, just like Ranti Dev qualified, that by giving the water, although he was on the verge of death, still he was relieved of all misery, all suffering, all moroseness, hunger, thirst, relieved completely. So Hare Krishna. I'll stop here, and if there are any questions, please, I'd welcome them. Yes, Brahma.
Giving up material desires is not easy, so Krishna is telling us that we should be moderate in our behavior. So once in a while, to satisfy your desires, then you can continue your devotional service. You can't just moderate a little bit here and there. Why be so strict and so fixed? And sometimes you need to release the tensions of the mind.
Yes, but that's a little problematic. In the 11th canto, it's described that sometimes you can give the mind a little freedom. Like if you have the reins of a horse, you can give it a little freedom to see where it wants to go, to see what the inclination of the mind is. Because you can try to curb your senses in a very strict manner, but when that desire comes, it might catch you unsuspected and you'll fall down immediately. But that advice is given there. Just give the horse a little free rein. But otherwise, if you curb it too much, then it might go out of control altogether. But that's a very risky situation. It's not something that you want to practice in the beginning of spiritual life, because we'll be just reminding ourselves all day long about sex life. So it's better to actually take the good association and to be fully engaged, because this is very important, to be fully engaged. It's more important to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness than to be engaged according to your varna. First thing is to be fully engaged. Then that's the best protection.
When we see the austerities of Ranti Dev, King Ranti Dev, and how he had his whole family fasting for 48 days, and that kind of renunciation of giving all your food away, I think the wife would have killed you, you know, at that point. And you said the wife was in charge sometimes.
Oh, yes.
But the family members, how do they feel about that? They may not be on the same elevated platform, so you're subjecting your subordinates to a bit of cruelty, it seems. I mean, he had, of course, there's Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and guys, but generally, people, the Shudras and the Chandalas, may not be that. You have that really, really staunch faith.
Yes.
After so much fasting, you give all your food away to somebody who comes knocking at your door. And if you see, you look in yourself, you think, I don't have even a pinch of that faith, so you may lose your determination. You think these standards are way too high.
Yes. Well, they're too high for us to imitate, but we can imbibe the essence, because is one a very important thing in Vedic culture that if anybody comes to your house, that you share with them whatever food you have. That's a Vedic principle, and if you don't do that, you go to hell. You go to Krimi Bhojana, which is a lake filled with worms and which constantly will eat you. So that principle is there, I mean, and of course, why was the family, the wife was obviously, Rantidev was very exalted, Uttamadhikari, obviously his wife was chaste. Very chaste lady. For the chaste lady must follow the vows of the husband. She'll be happy to follow the vows of the husband.
That's not always the case. We see the problem about leftist families saying, even Dvaitacharya, many of his sons, they were not following.
So right.
It's not always that one with an elevated soul can ultimately convince his family members to also be on the same level.
No, because the free will is always there. I mean, why did we fall from the spiritual world? I mean, it's inconceivable that we would have made such a foolish error there. Hare Krishna.
In answer to your other question, Srila Prabhupada said in Gita, in the purports, I'm having the same moment as to where exactly, but I just recently read it. He said that you can tell how much you're making advancement by your increasing sense gratification.
Yes.
So it's having less and less interest in sense gratification. That means you're making advancement.
Yes.
And for different people, sense gratification means things, or breathing, sweets, whatever, prestige, there's so many forms of sense gratification, subtle and gross. Another point, Vasudeva,
what the point you're making there is what? But sense gratification is sense gratification. It's
yeah, in other words, you can gauge how much you're making advancement by
your minimizing material bodily necessities.
Yeah, by losing your taste.
Yes.
Also, as the Rundi Dev, Vasudeva offered to take on the sins of all the living entities so they could all go home. He told Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, back. And he said, thank you very much for that offer, but as soon as you take all their sins, the material world will fill up again with more, with more conditioned souls. They're just waiting in line. So, thank you, but no thank you, because it's of no use. They continuously keep coming. So, that's another point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Are you exempted from the karma that your dependents are going through?
Yes, I mean, if you Krishna says in the Gita, if you accept what comes of its own accord, you're not entangled in the material world. You're not entangled. I mean, that's how you can experience God in your life very easily, isn't it? Because if you make no endeavor for maintenance, for instance, you know that whatever you get is sent by Krishna. In that way, you're not entangled. You're entangled if you think you're the doer, and you're entangled if you think that you're the cause of the results of your work. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.